Hello. Hello there. Welcome to the Blue Abroad Show. It's Monday the 30th of October. Pommy's with me tonight. Hello, mate. Welcome back.
Mate, good to be back and not gallivanting doing other stuff.
I know. Trade period. Well, I mean, you're covering every club, so it's a lot. There's a lot going on.
It's not easy, mate. Hey, but someone's got to do it, and I'm that guy, that man.
That's true. Well, if you don't do it, then everyone else is misinformed. That's the takeaway that I've got at the moment.
Mate, most people make a career out of doing draft and trade content by just copying whatever Cal Toomey said. Not this pom. He changes his opinion based on what I say.
I like it. We've got a bit to get through tonight. I thought for a minute there we didn't have much, but we've got plenty. We're going to talk about the club tour that you and I went on with some other great content creators. We are going to start the conversation around the draft tonight and what we need and positionally, which means you're going to give us a few names to be on the lookout for before the official draft preview that we do on the channel. We have got an Orazio Fantasia update. We have one. And then we've got a bit more happening. So, yeah, should be a good one. Got a few people in the chat tonight. Christian's always here. Wait, before I put any more names out, who are some of the people that are just always on?
Jay Mirabello.
Mirabello, absolutely.
Matt Gondolfo.
Yeah.
Christian Lana, the human encyclopedia, John Alden.
Chrissy Beach, yeah. I love it. Peter V. Bluebaggers loves a 7:02 arrival. Big fan.
Says, is she in chat? She's always there.
Always here. Actually, everyone's here. It's great. It's great.
I did that without looking at the chat, just so you know, chat. Like, they were just the names that came into my head. And if you're there, you're out there. There's loads there. I could probably do this all day. I could probably name all 10,000 subs.
True. True. All right. Christian, it's our home as well, my friend. Look, let's start with the walk through the club. Start there. Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
So the story goes that the club have begun a new initiative now that the redevelopment is finished. And they reached out and they got a bunch of us together, the content creators, and took us through for the first actual run through with Tony DeBolfo. So a 90-minute tour of the club. Thanks to Tony. We were there with media manager and head of digital as well. And yeah, what was your takeaway?
Well, I mean, let's just talk about the people who were there first. It was a who's who, really, of Cal and content creators. It was almost like they'd gone to the 2015 draft for Cal. And look at that.
Look at that. Look at that. Have a look at them.
Some superstars, I tell thee. Some superstars there in esteemed company. There's my big head in front of a number 27 locker. But now, I mean, first of all, it has to be said that Tony, absolutely remarkable human being. Full exposure. I couldn't think of anything worse than walking round a place to hear about 16 trophies. That's what I thought it was. But Tony made it in fully engaging, interactive. There was so much personable stories. It was a little bit like Carlton people on this channel. It was fantastic to hear the early founders of the football club, their personable story, the people who went to both walls, the impact we have on that great community. But it was also great to see the facilities and the big change around of the inner workings and the inner sanctums of the club. If you get a chance to do it, I highly recommend it because I want to do it again. It was that good. It was that good. I'd do it again.
I'm with you. I was excited to do it because I was excited to see the inside of the club. I've never really been on the inside of the club aside from the new indoor training center. I did the Matt Owies interview in there. But it's the full access. And I think I think my expectations were it might be a bit dry, too much about the history, and it might go over my head, but it kind of connected me more to the soul of the club, gave me a bit more of an understanding of the club. I think for me, seeing the indoor swimming pool area, they've got like the sauna in there, the recovery room, we'll call it. You've got a 25-meter lap pool in there. Seeing the step, like that's world class. Seeing that, seeing the anti-gravity treadmill, seeing what our club actually has at its disposal, it's as, I mean, I haven't been to tours of any other club, but I don't think many clubs have that type of facility that we do. And when it comes to recovery now for our guys and the girls as well, I mean, there's nothing else that you can ask for. They have everything there at their disposal. And I wonder if that's got something to do with why we saw a little bit of an increased health this year.
Well, I mean, they've got everything, haven't they? I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, really, having seen that, they have a huge risk of if they don't win a flag in the next couple of years, it's all the gear, no idea, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All the kit full of shit. I could do this all day. This is good, this game. But no, I've got to say, full credit to Tony, though, because I agree with you. A lot of them history tours, being a POM and having like a history is massive in the UK, because like things date back like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years. They can be a little bit monotonous and it does get a bit like school, but full credit to Tony. He was not only engaging, but he was actually interesting. Like, not often do I meet someone and go, I won't mind a beer with this bloke. Like, Tony's a great bloke, incredible knowledge as well of the football club. But, like, he really made that. And I agree with you. I felt closer to the club on leaving that. I felt like I had a better understanding about what we want, what we are, and where we're going. And that's all that history is. History is never something that we should be ashamed of. We should always dive into it because it allows you to know where to go. Because how can you know where to go if you don't know where you've been?
That's true.
Put that on my tombstone.
Yeah. So I believe it is actually sold out right now. From what I understand, there will be more dates made available. Peter, you can't film inside just because, you know, they want to keep it exclusive to those that are doing the tour. From what I was told, it's free for members. You've just got to obviously book it. And I think it's $20 for non-members. They're going to find a way to do it, to do more of them. And I mean, I could not recommend anything more. Like, make sure you do it. I left the tour feeling just a layer more connected to what's actually going on. And just having a bit more context of how big the club actually is and what we have. So, and I had
it's like Area 51, wasn't it? It just goes on forever.
Yeah. So that was that. Let's knock on this one. Let's just get this one off the bat. Pom, where is Orazio? Was the question that I was given a lot over the weekend. Like, where is he? When are we going to see him? And then today I saw just a little bit of angst. Like, when's the announcement? The update is this. Port Adelaide have officially delisted him along with a few others only 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. So that needed to happen officially first. So Pommy, can you give us some context on when we can expect to actually see this announcement?
I reckon, betting man, right? So they're not allowed to officially. So this is a bit like the Dow deal. This is a little bit like, you know, where everyone, there was a few people going out and having a cry because Cowan didn't say goodbye to Dow. But the AFL rules are strict. Even though anything's signed, everything's guaranteed, you're not allowed to list it until it's registered with AFL House. This will be lodged. So by the media reporting, it means it's lodged. No one can officially be announced till 9 a.m. Wednesday, November the 1st. So right. I would bet 9:47 Wednesday, you'll have a brand new shiny Orazio at the football club.
Yeah. It's like a present, you know, you're getting. It's like you've snuck into mum and dad's cupboard, you've seen your Christmas present, you haven't told them that you know, and then you act surprised on Christmas morning.
Yeah, Yeah, it's like your wedding anniversary or Valentine's Day or your birthday when you're married. You know what you're going to get in the evening. You're just waiting for the kids to go to bed. So we've put him to bed. Take out of that what you will. Bit of a different vibe this to his usual guest, isn't it? But...
Hello and welcome to Off Season Abroad.
But yeah, Arazio and Bugsbell nails it. I really like this get. And what I'll say is a few people have been upset about it. I'll say this, you're allowed to be upset about it if by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning you can present me 1 to 80 itemized listed in your priority order, 80 people in the draft. Caveat, you've got to put a little blurb next to the name as well of why you want them. Because at the end of the day, Carlton's next pick after their 20s is miles away, potentially not even going to be used. It may jump up into the top 40 where the players are, but Arazio is by a mile better than anyone outside of the top 30 in this draft. Also a mile better than what we've got rid of in the terms of he's going to be replacing Josh Honey or Sam Philp. Presumably you look at it that way. He's miles better than them as well. One guy who's quick, who played two games, and one guy who Terry refused to even give a rating for three rounds. So gets his body right. He's better than them. But big thing for me, look at who the small forwards are learning off. They're learning off Owies, who's a mechanical footballer. This isn't his natural game. So now you've got someone big. You've got someone who knows. So even if he is injured all the time, his experience in real life,
yeah,
it's going to be huge around them boys. So I'm excited about this one. I like it.
Yeah. A few questions that came through about this. We're going to do a bit of a Q&A afterwards, but seeing as we're talking about Arazio, blues.afl, is Fantasia a walk-up starter if he's fit? If so, who comes out? So yeah, let's just set the scene. Let's just say he completes every session in the preseason, every single session. We get to the week of round one and he's available to play. Is he that good to play round one?
You'd say, in reality, knowing what this guy can do, if he is 100% fit,
yep,
he is better historically than Owies, Motlop and Durden. So I'd imagine Voss would have his name on the team sheet as the first small forward. And that's no disrespect to Owies, Motlop and Durden. He's proven when he's played. It's just about getting in there. But Mr. Kurtz nails it. In my opinion, in reality, best player we've got in that position.
I totally agree. I mean, I mentioned it in the video that I did, but I like the fact. I mean, this would be his last chance. Let's be honest. He's had a horrid run with his body. Hasn't been able to figure it out for whatever reason. We know all about players in that situation who have turned it around, you know, eventually. He's 28 going into next year. I can't help but feel like he'd be thinking, gosh, third club, this is it. He's just going to go for it. He's got quite a few people already at Carlton who he'd be familiar with Brad Ebert, Greaves, Voss. I feel like I'm missing someone. So, you know. Good luck to him. And from what I know, from what I understand, he's already healthy like today. The preseason starts in 3 or 4 weeks, I think it is. But he's healthy today. He's ready to go. He's not recovering from an injury right now. He actually finished the season quite strongly in the SANFL.
It's interesting to talk about because I did a lot of research on Arazi because it looked like he was locked to GWS. So on my channel, I had a lot of GWS fans. Believe it or not, they do exist. Wanting a bit of intel on Arazio. So I went deep diving into Arazio. If you go on the internet, you can find his elimination final in his last three rounds of the year. Ridiculous. He kicked 4 goals in the elimination final. He looked brilliant. It was like Bobby Hill in the grand final, like that good. Like it was like they had the ball, but when he did, it went through the big sticks. But the reports from GWS were that he blew them away. That was the report when it was meant to be signed with GWS. And he wanted an option for a second year. Port had already confirmed they'd offered him an extra year. Cowton offering him 2 years, and by the report that Cal Toomey and the other dude did, it's 2 years on the senior list, which makes sense because now Cowton have 33 senior listed players. It says that Cowton have done their due diligence and got in quick, but GWS and Port are teams that we've got to beat to win this thing. So it's a total risk-free signing when you think that to get that 33rd player, we were taking a pick in the middle of nowhere, do you know what I mean, in the draft, on a guy that, law of averages, 90% of the time you delist in 2 years anyway. So I don't mind this. I really don't, because if we get him right, boy oh boy. I mean, his Sandful year this year, 20 goals from 9 starts. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, wow. I mean, look, it's a low-risk move for me. And also, I think it's one of the first few moves we've made as in this context as a contender. There's no I mean, I have zero expectation on him other than getting himself ready and available to play. But from my lens, maybe it's a bit simple. I'm just looking at this as whatever Honey was doing on the list, Orazio is now in that exact same role / position on the list.
Like I said, people can complain about it. If they can name me 80 draftees listed 1 to 8 with a sentence about each one, I'll allow it. If not, disregarded. Orazio Pomtasia is in the house. And I'm looking forward to seeing where he can go, and hopefully he can get himself right and grab the opportunity. I mean, Vossi's worked with him before. So tell you what, I can't wait to see this little melt kick 6 goals versus Essendon just to let them know what he missed.
It's going to be great. So that's that. I'm sure we'll hear more about it throughout the week. But that is that. That kind of leads us into today. We had a... Maybe you can give us this one, Pom. What did you get from this today? You put Gibbs on the agenda. You put him back on the shoulders of the Blue Abroad community. I can't believe it.
Well, it's not me. Still haven't forgiven him for that Adelaide game, to be honest.
I have not forgiven the club for that. I don't think I ever will.
tell you what, I keep looking. I look at that picture and it actually sickens me a little bit. But Mr. Bryce Gibbs, God love him. We can love him now because he's neutral again. He was asked a question on Sports Day South Australia. How did Carlton improve? And I actually think he nailed it. He said their small forwards worries him. He said, oh, he's Durden and Motlop. Who out of these three needs to stand up in 2024 and become that all Australian type small forward? I'm talking a Charlie Cameron type in that forward line. I'm a bit worried about his pace in reference to Matty Owies. However, Motlop's got the pace. All three of these guys have had opportunities over the last 18 months, but no one really has grabbed it by the scruff of the neck. I'm really feeling one of them needs to step up and say, I'm the premier small forward in this forward line. And I think he's nailed it, to be honest. I think if we were all honest, we'd all be like, that's what needs to improve. Them small forwards, they're getting better, but we do probably lack that guy that we look at and go, bang, he could take a game away. And I think that's probably backed up by Vossi signing Mr. Razdog coming in. But who do we think? My question I wanted to offer this, because this comes from Condor on Twitter. He was the one who related it. So shout out to you, my brethren. Who do you think can get up and be that all-Australian type? And do you think there's anyone else that needs to improve? But he's listed them through it. I would say he's probably bang on, to be honest. I think he's nailed it.
Does it have to be a small forward?
No, it could be anyone.
Because, we'll let the chat give their thoughts. I think it's actually, well, Peter, you know what? Fair. Harry. It's Harry. It's bring Harry back into the top five. We did the Player of the Year awards, and we did the, you know, top five in every position last week, and Harry did not rate in the top five. That's just got to change. There's one. And then I think 18-plus game season from Jack Martin makes us better, with Harry kicking over 2 goals a game, 40 goals in a season, 45, we'll call it.
Interesting. You're on the right path there, because Bryce did single out Jack Martin as the hybrid, can play small, can play medium, was by far Cowton's best attacking option in the second half of the year. He seamlessly slotted into the forward line. It was great to see. We know he's had issues, but if he keeps his body right, we know he can go another game. A big plus for me with Martin is he can provide so much from limited touches, which I think is probably fair. I agree. Mackay is one of them. I think Harry is. I do think midfielders, I'd love to see goals from the mids. I think the Harry thing I'm willing to put down to a blip. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I get that.
A blip. But mids for me, I want to see one of them hit that scoreboard with the frequency that you see Collingwood's mids do, GWS's mids chipped in with goals. I feel like that is one department that I'd love to see it be Walsh, because we saw glimpses of it a couple of years ago, him running inside 50 and taking it on and adding that next layer. I feel like if he can do that, I feel like Carlton are in a dangerous side, someone running through and snagging from 55 on the run. I feel like that's the one big thing when I watch as we lack. It looks like we work it through the goalposts. Other clubs just have a punt from 50 with a midfielder.
Mm. That's also where I love having Zach Williams back, even just seeing the photo of him training again and knowing. I still remember getting the news about Zach Williams doing his knee in, you know, the last preseason. And you just have to sit with the fact that you can't talk about him until another preseason. So we're finally there. And I remember it happening with Doc as well, but it happened a couple of times for different reasons. But Zach, in what I'm projecting in my mind, is going to allow us to score a bit more easier than what we ever have.
Well, I mean, transition, we're talking about transition a bit later. I'd say transition, when we're one of the hardest sides to score against and it doesn't quite equate to goals the other end, that is probably something where Cowton have to look at. And I think that's probably what separated us from being great, our ability to not be scored against, turn the ball back over inside our defensive 50, but not penetrate the other end with so much frequency. Zach Williams is that, isn't he? He likes Jordan Boyd and Pom Cotter. Williams is better than both of them at what they're both good at. So Z will, massive. If he can get 20 games from him, massive that would be for Cowton. And now Doc's a midfielder. Maybe the goals come as well, because we know Doc likes a cheeky punt from 50.
He's not the worst at finding himself in the right position, is he?
He just like a cheeky punt, does old Doc. And you know what? Invariably, he slots the bugger. So the thought of Mr. Walsh and Doc marauding inside 50, that could be an exciting thing next year.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about picks.
Let's talk about picks.
Baby, let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about...
So, I mean, currently Carlton have 22, 28, 70, 78, and 96, but will not be used, it has to be said. They will all be used. Tony Birch asked this question earlier in regards to it. So Carlton currently at this stage have 33 spots taken in their senior list, with the minimum cutoff being 36. So Cowan have to have three players, which we presume by all reports and logical sense that, dependent on what pick 70 becomes, that 33 increase Fantasia as well, just for those asking, 78 will probably be used and burnt to become a rookie A upgrade, so they go into the senior list, which would take to 34, which would mean 22 and 28 will be used, and Cowton won't have any more spots available from that point. Cowton will be done. So 22 and 28 look to be the two selections, and it looks like unless Nick Austin finds a way of going up the draft board, which you presume would cost us 22 and 28 in that scenario, looks like them two picks will be the picks we enter the draft with.
Hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through positionally some names that are available. So these are not the official pick previews just yet, but we've got defenders, midfielders, the Mozzie squad, so small forwards, and then ruck. We've got a few options for each, so you can take us through. Maybe we'll start with the defenders.
Mate, you're the host. Do what you want.
Let's start with the defenders. So we have been talking about this for a while, not just we here on the channel, but I think the club as well, the transition, the need for better transition. So we're going to go through some players that can help in that regard that are currently going to be available in the upcoming draft. So first up, Pommy, take us away. Take us on the journey.
Yeah, so I've been following you all on the world, whether it's Big Footy, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. I've been looking at what you guys and girls have been looking for. So what I've tried to do is find you some players. So first point of call was transition. And I've tried to get these players around these picks. And here he is, Luman Luau. This guy here, he stands out. He's an incredible footballer, really tasty footballer. Got shades of a little bit of Adam Saad in him with his ability to take the game on. He's incredibly, incredibly accurate as well with the ball in hand. Incredibly hungry. His read of the play is fantastic. And he's always been in the reps and even captained Vic Country last year in the under-17. So this guy here is that modern-day rebounding player. He was a member of the Western Bulldogs Next Generation Academy, and I have a sneaky feeling this year that looking at where our picks are, I would not be surprised Austin to cheat and attack players from the NGAs. Reason being, they've had better coaching than anyone else in the country. And two, it's probably the closest way that you guarantee you've got some real good knowledge with what they are. And Luau here is that modern-day rebounding player. His ball use is impeccable, but his ability to play the give and go. And I want you all to get into the mindset of you're not picking players that you like. You're picking players that Voss will like. And this guy here is a plug-and-play for what traditionally Voss has liked in the back half of the ground.
Right. Okay. That is Luau. This is
CJ's brother.
CJ's brother, Cheng Guok. Jeff.
I just call him CJ. It makes it easier.
Well, bit of talk about this guy. He's had a bit of coverage.
Oh, Chu Jiaf. Yeah, this is a late bloomer. This is a guy that has come into his own in the back half of the year. And genuinely speaking, what I like about him is he's linked with Hawthorn's NGA. There is talk that Hawthorn are desperate for him, but obviously don't have the personnel. But this guy here is very like his brother, and we've been victim of CJ massively, haven't we, in our history?
Yeah.
Look at Aaliyah. These players that can slot into that back pocket and attack the ball and run it out the back half of the ground have been Carlton's antichrist for 5 years, and this guy is another one of them. Wonderful thing about Chu as well is just looking at how he's improved. So this time a couple of years ago, we were talking about his rawness and how it was a bit like watching Domaku play football. You could see it and you kind of were like screaming at the telly when you watched some of his earlier highlights. Go on, take the game on, mate. Take the game on. But this year, particularly the back half of the year, he's really flown and really taken on at Gippsland Power that belief in himself. And his attacking sense is second to none. You see him overlap his wingers. He gets really high up the ground. He wins the ball back, and he goes forward. But he isn't scared of slowing it down as well. He's got a bit of composure and a bit of maturity. And for someone that probably isn't highly touted like the others have been for the last 2 years, this kid here has got some gifts. And tell you what, this guy can find space in a crowded elevator. It's very exciting. And I think when Carlton look at Nick Newman, he's not getting any younger. Adam Saad, he's not going to always have his pace. Maybe a point here where just so happens Carlton's first pick, there's a lot of these type of players, they bite the bullet and go, well, let's get one in now. Let's get one in now, because will they be better next year? Looking at the draft board next year, probably isn't that many defenders in this area. Maybe it's right. The time that you take best available.
When you say he's finished the season strongly, I remember that being the case with Sam Philp. And, you know, history will say that, you know, he didn't make any of the state teams and therefore the pool was, what's the word I'm looking for? The better players weren't playing and therefore maybe he stood out a little bit more. Is there any context behind why he finished the season strongly other than he just started finding some confidence?
I feel with Chu, the big thing about him is he's always had it. And I think you saw it
right
when he broke into the team. So it's interesting to note that until the bye in the Coates Talent League, this guy wasn't playing. And then he broke into the team with some real strong school form, never lost his position against some real, real strong competition at Gippsland. And his intercept game, he arguably came from a guy that was overlooked by Gippsland by about round 13, 14. He was literally their first pick in the back half. And right. Unlike Philp, who didn't get invited to the main combine, Chu got an invite, which is very incredibly rare. If you don't play rep football, unless you're injured, genuinely, you don't. This guy got invited by the AFL scouts. So that suggests that they like what they saw. And I think it's a little bit of one of them cases where you look at Chu and you look and just think to yourself, this guy did it the hard way. And I like that. You know what I'm like?
Yeah.
I enjoy people who have done it the hard way. And he's done it the hard way. Like forgotten about, bolted away. No, everyone's forgotten about you. He's worked his way back in.
Okay. One to keep an eye out for. Then the final guy, Archie Roberts. What's the story?
I love this kid. And this kid's not getting enough reps. And I've got him going right at the 22 mark. Right at the 22 mark, which would mean Carlton would lose out with the matches. But this guy here can play inside, outside, and off halfback. And what I like about him, and I always look, I like to look into worse things than just playing football. I think at this stage, without being horrible to these kids, if your entire life is playing football as a kid, any idiot can do that. Do you know what I mean? Any idiot can do that. You haven't got much to focus about. It's the stuff he does. His leadership for his school, born winner. He's won flags with his junior side and his school, captained his school, was a standout for his school as well, Helsbury College. His mentality is elite as well. A lot of talk about how he helps out, put the training cones out at the track, works with the younger bottom ages. His ball use is incredible. This guy, when he uses the ball, he doesn't miss, which, being a Carlton fan, it's my bugbear. He's cool head, though, under pressure. He's played a lot of games where they've been totally outclassed. And even last year when he was playing as a bottom ager in the senior side, you really saw his ability to never be scared. He's not scared. His ability to set up, he kicks the ball out in front to his wingers. His read of the play is impeccable. This kid is the purest of purest players. And he reminds me a lot of Sam Doherty. He's got some real burst from stoppages. Reminds me of that Sam Doherty type of player, though. Cool temperament, understated, but you'll forget about him until he gets the ball. And when he gets the ball, he'll hurt you. He's an incredible young man. And coming from Sandy Dragons, they don't have melts at Sandy Dragons. They are quality. Cue Terry to find the one bad Sandy Dragon.
Okay. That's a big rap, mate. That's a big, big rap.
Arch. Great name as well. Great name.
Great name. All right, so we move on to the midfielders. We've got three here. What do you like when it comes to the midfielders? We'll start with Charlie Edwards. Wait, so what maybe we go back one step. Sorry, maybe we go back one step. Why would we be looking for midfielders? Is it because like Jack Carroll's now going to be ready to go to the next level, so we've got to fill that Jack Carroll spot on the list?
Oh, well, I mean, you tell me, why do we need a midfielder? I mean, you probably need a midfielder because Paddy Dow's left. So
right. Obviously
Carlton have got that structure of how many players. And it does make sense. when you take Dow out of this team now, kind of one less midfielder than most AFL systems, most AFL things. We have more halfbacks than most systems, but Dot coming in there, you'd say they probably want that. And you want that pressure on Carroll. You can't have Carroll in that side and being like, I'm the next cab off the rank. You need that little bit of pressure. And Charlie Edwards is probably, outside of the top 15, the best midfielder, best midfield by a mile. And straight away, he's got that skill that you like from Paddy Dow. The only thing everyone likes on Paddy Dow, if they're really honest, is he runs away from congestion pretty well. Charlie Edwards got him covered there. The thing he has got Dow covered on well in advance is his ability to kick. Went at 75% in the national championships, which is high. Went at 86 in his league. So that's even more high. Started life as a halfback flanker, moved up to the midfield. That's very important because you look at some of the best midfielders in the comp. That's how they've started in senior football. It seems to be the new methodology. Go back to 2019. Me and Terry talked about this a lot. Why don't Carlton do it? This guy does it. And his work around congestion is incredible, but also his work rate and his high base. So this is a real good thing from Charlie, is he does a lot of things well. There's not many below average. Why he's probably not a top 15 talent is because the things he does that the others do in elite levels, which may be below average in others, this guy's just average across the board. But I want you to go back to TPI ratings program. That's important. That is incredibly important. His ability to use the ball and his ability to probably not stand out is Carlton's gain, should he be at that pick, because he's one of them players that isn't a sexy footballer. He's a consistent footballer. And I think if I was Michael Voss, I'd want Charlie Edwards all day over Paddy Dow, because I know what I'm going to get with Charlie.
Yeah, interesting.
I like him.
I like it.
George Stevens, I have a theory. You can never have too many Georges on your team. Just honest people, honest footballers.
Well, George Hewitt started life as a halfback and ended up as a halfback at Sydney before he came to us. And finally, we have an AFL draft that isn't obsessed with big boys being in the top 10. But what Jason Horn Francis, what I used to complain about him, this is George Stevens. But lo and behold, George Stevens is where he should be. Big boy who bashes heads. And look at the dimensions for an 18-year-old. 189, 101 kegs. Jesus Christ, good luck kicking him out of the freaking bar. You know what I mean? He's resilient. He's incredibly competitive. Now, you might say competitive nature, Pom. That's not a skill set. Massive skill set in reality. Because this guy here has had a very rough route in senior junior football. Players have come in. He got injured. He had an ACL tear last year. When he came back, his position in the defensive half was taken. So he started to train as a midfielder. And you have seen this year, particularly for GMV Rebels, absolute superstar. Captain the national squad, was in the leadership group at Vic Country and at Greater Western Victoria Rebels, and then slides back down the back. Incredibly strong, resilient. His contested work is amazing. And the thought of working with Cripper and George Hewitt really turns me on, because somewhere between them, he is that type of player. So I would say that, I know everyone's obsessed with speed. It seems to be the en vogue thing. So be it. Is it real? Not really. What is tangible, though, is Carlton don't have a backup hard bastard. And George Stevens could be that backup hard guy.
I like his name. I'm sold.
Look at the size of the 101 kegs.
189, 101. Yeah. Crips will teach him how to use that body as well, mate. I like it. Where would he be projected to fall?
So, Mr. Georgie Porgy. George is anywhere from that 20 mark to about 35. Could even slide a bit lower, dependent on it, because it does seem this draft, the key position players are sliding, particularly some of the defenders and the rooks of Rose, which we'll come on to later. So could get lucky with this one.
Okay.
This could be a 28 pick.
The final midfielder you've got here for tonight is Cooper Simpson. What's the story?
My boy, Big Coops. Proper footballer, this. Proper man. Now, this is a one that would suit. This would suit Mr. Nick Austin's mandate. Now, we talked about goal kicking, and you like speed, and you like toughness. Boy, oh boy, we've got a footballer here. Now, this guy here, Nick Austin has a habit of picking players that have slid dramatically. This guy has had horrific complications with a nasty corked thigh. Kept him out of the side for quite a long time. Came back towards the end of the season, was pretty impressive. Captain of Dandenong Stingrays, which is Harry Di Matteo's team. And a big thing, if you watch the interview with him, what really stood out when I interviewed him and what always turns me on when you get to know these draftees is how he handles his injury. And this guy would turn up on his days off. Remember, he's training on his days off. Getting down there, sticking out the cones, training with the under-16s, under-17s, being a cheerleader, being a runner. This guy was doing the whole team thing. And captain of Dandenong Stingrays, it was tough them opening periods of the year where he wasn't playing. But this guy here has got it all. And we're lucky here that he's missed so much football and then showed us that he could play towards the back end. But he's got all the gifts. And this guy here would be a top 15 recruit had he played all the year, because it's everything AFL scouts look for. And it's just that question mark of his resilience from that. I don't think it's a problem because he's never had injuries before. And when he returned, he looked really tasty. But Cooper's got it all. And his ability to kick goals, his vision and his leadership, that really suits Carlton's core ethos. So when we're looking at culture, his kicking penetration, his kicking accuracy, his ability to kick goals, his strength in and around congestion, and his raw speed. This is basically Paddy Dow, but with leadership and accuracy.
I like it.
Basically nothing like Paddy Dow.
Basically. And it begins. once you wear the other Guernsey, that's it. You're dead to us. The Mozzie squad. So there has been a bit of talk around the small forward brigade. Obviously, Orazio is going to be in the fold at some point over the next few days. But we've got a couple of small forwards in this draft class that you've got an eye on.
Now, this is hard, right? Now, I want to really put this in perspective. This draft, it's kind of obvious where you go. So I'd say this is probably the easiest draft to predict from 10 outside it, in the terms of basically the only question is, what do you go? Do you go midfielder or do you go forward or do you go backman, right?
Right.
And you can't really fuck it up. Usually, though, from 10 to 30, the ceiling players that you could make a great argument for every club. I feel like this year's easy. Now, Harry is going to be one of them players that he gets to Cowan if people fill their other needs first. If they take on priority order, Harry isn't there. But this kid here, oh, this is what we miss. This is what we miss. David Cunningham ability, this guy of going in the midfield and making something happen. Incredible in congestion. If you go back and watch his Dandenong year, particularly for Vic Country as well, where he was actually promoted midway through the year to assist and vice captain. So it shows you it. His ability to play on the ball and then go forward and kick snags is scary. He's tenacious. His defensive craft has been really strong as well this year. But also his ability to find goals out of nothing, but also be selfless. This Harry really loves dishing off them kicks to other people. Now, he could go anywhere from 15 to 30, maybe even earlier. But this guy is an absolute jet. His explosion, his X-Factor, he's got the hair. He's everything I ever want in a small forward who can go down into the midfield. And looking like that's the area we really need if we were going to get someone. Dual position, versatile. This kid is it.
Nice Italian name there as well. That'll also fit with the club.
Mate, he's very impressive footballer. Very impressive footballer.
Okay. And then there is... Let me try it. Colton Tholstrup.
Yeah, Tholstrup, yeah. So, nice. I believe that's a German name, isn't it? Less said about that, the better. But, but aside from the name, this guy here playing for Subiaco, absolutely amazing, to be fair. And this is probably, if you were going to make a dream forward, this guy is it. Do you know what I mean? He has got a bit of a fan base as well. Back home in there, they call themselves the Coltites, and that's interesting. But this guy is like
a following.
This guy's you could almost say this guy's a cult hero.
Huh.
That one's for free. The next one you pay. But this guy here, he stands out. He's one of them people that. It's a bums on off seats footballer. He makes things happen. He reminds me a lot of a very young Jeffy Gartlett in what he can do. He does the unthinkable. It's unashamed. He's not scared of pressure. He's incredibly high ceiling. You can see that this guy could be next level brilliant. It's very Josh Rochelle. It's that modern day small. I'm not scared to get up the ground and win my own ball and then finish it off. Kicking is good. He's got great vision. I love this guy, and he loves a specky as well. But this is something we haven't got. I don't mean to disrespect Jesse Motlop because he's one of my faves. Jesse Motlop's one of my faves. But this guy has got X factor. This guy is one of that player where we keep talking about, have we got a player that can change the game? I feel like Jesse Motlop's always going to be consistent, can have the X factor game. Colton is that player that will have 3 rounds, 5 touches, and will slag him off. Then a game happens against Brisbane and he kicks 7. He's that type of player.
Okay. He's
going to be that player that all these boring AFL media hate, because you can tell he's going to kick a goal and he's going to have a weird celebration. He's going to come across really egotistical, but it's confidence. This guy is exciting, and we don't have an excitement machine like this, and he's pure excitement, but he backs it up. And hopefully he's there. I reckon North may take the punt on this player, and Collingwood fans disagree with me. I can see Collingwood fans saying, Jamie Elliott ain't getting any younger. This guy's probably the best around our pick. But if he slides, no better than Colton.
Yeah, right.
My boy.
All right. So there's your defenders, mids.
I think you've got one more forward, haven't you?
I see Mozzie Squad 1, Mozzie Squad 2. I see Ashton Moore. Do you see that? I see him now.
There he is. I like to call him Mini.
Sorry. Fix that up. Yep.
Mini Eddie Betts, this kid.
Ashton?
Gives me very, very Eddie Betts type players. Now, one thing here, this guy, when he did his AFL combine, they do a kicking test. And I was speaking to someone out at Glen Elg who said when they did their kicking test, this guy rated high. Have you lost him?
Yeah, I've lost him. Sorry. I just won't touch that. There we go.
So this guy rated elite with his left peg and his right peg. So, you know, when you complain about Carlton's kicking, we can have a guy that's good with both feet. Goal machine. This guy knows where the goals are. There's quite a few highlight reels if you go out there. Of him handballing on the ground when he's running out of bounds, picking the loose ball up, and then just whipping it on his left and curling it through. Incredible crummer. He stays close at Glen Elg watching him, stays very close to his toes. And Ashton is the real deal. Now, the big thing for me here is what I love about Ashton as well, and it should be noted, he plays in the Sandful, right, which is it's a tough league. If you watch and you look at draftees, the kids play it. Now, he averaged just under 2 goals in Sandful reserves playing against men. If you watch Sandful football, it's probably the closest to the AFL, even over VFL, in speed and physicality. This guy bounces off players. This guy isn't there. He's so quick and evasive. And I love Ashton. Like, I think he should be rated a lot higher. For some reason, he isn't, but he's quick. And it's the consistency that kills him. It's the consistency that kills him. But kicking goals for the AFL Academy, he's that good. Many a time as well was named in the extended of the Sandful. Didn't quite break in, but in the reserves, he did the business. And his form in reserves was good. And that's playing against men and angry men. That Ashton's got skills. He's got skills. And he reminds me a lot of a young Eddie Betts. Now, I know that's huge props. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as him. But the way he goes about his business, it's Eddie Betts like. He doesn't do the thinkable, he does the unthinkable.
Yeah, right. Then we move into the rucks. So the reason why we're thinking about this is, you know, the Koning and Pitto can play at the top level. Then there's a bit of a gap. We've got Murkoff on the list. I'm not really sure where he's at, to be honest, with his health. So that's the main concern there, whether he's going to be ready. Then we've got, his name has escaped me. What's the kid's name?
Hudson O'Keefe.
Hudson O'Keefe, that's the one. Then we have him. It's still a question mark, isn't it? That third ruckman on the list. So in the event that we may want to look at a ruckman, there may be an opportunistic, happening that comes our way. You've had a look at some of the ruckmen that are available.
Yeah, there's some good ones. And this one here, the conversation ends. Mitchie Edwards. Now, he slid down the draft board. There is a huge rumor going around, and it's not my rumor, but it does suit why he slid down everyone's draft board, that he doesn't want to leave WA. Right. And that's why he slid down, because there's no reason. This guy is a bona fide top 20 talent. He's just behind Ethan Reed, who is the best rook in this draft. Mitch. Wow. Mitch is up there. Fremantle NGA. So they can't bid in the top 40 because the AFL's corrupt and only gives teams in Queensland or Sydney that access. But that's a story for another day. But Mitchie, he does the business. This kid can play football. Insane ruckcraft. And I don't often write insane or generic terms like that in my draft profiles, but his second and third efforts are fantastic. His overhead marking is amazing. His work around the ground is good. Second role, played down the back, played up forward. He's already got that. So, you know, when we look at Pitnet and we complain, this guy does both ends of the ground. Second and third efforts on the deck really improved as well, and it's a real showcase of him. Invariably slots late in the game, kicks forward. Won't go to Fremantle because Fremantle have other issues. Now, there was a player last year we talked about a lot, Jackson Broadbent, yeah, who was a ruckman. Mitch got him out of the team towards the end of that year, and Broadbent was flying at that point, but Mitch's work was so good, he displaced him, and he's been first choice at Peel. For me, if he's there at 28,
you jump at it? 28,
if he's there, 100%, don't care what else is on there. Because,
really?
Because there isn't a ruckman coming through in the next couple of years at this stage that Carlton will entertain.
True.
This kid is that good. Now, is the WA thing? I don't quite buy into it because I think they ask a question that's very leaded. And if you watched any of my work with draftees, I ask a similar worded question, but I don't phrase it like a moron. I phrase it to give them that honest answer. What 18-year-old wants to leave mummy and daddy? Unless you're me, right? And I had a hairy chest at 18. Not everyone is. It's a different generation. Do you know what I mean? It's a different generation, right? But let's just say you back your culture. Carlton have put a lot of money into this culture. Why can't we make it a home for him? He's got some WA boys there. This kid here, I'm telling you now, teams will regret. This is going to be, I can see it already. And you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me a lot of Matty Cruiser. You can see it. He's different. He's different the way he plays. There's another guy we're going to talk about. I'm very excited as a ruckman, but Mitchie, already he would be third best ruckman at Carlton. If he played right now, already better than the others.
There you go. That's one to keep an eye on. I like the look of him. Don't know why.
You can see Cripper putting his arm over him and going, I've lost one of the WA cartel. Don't yeah, worry, you're the new mate. Fisher.
Fish and Mitch.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's happening. I love Mitch Edwards. Really, all right. Really big fan. All right.
And then there's Taylor Goad. Big boy, 206.
Now, if you get a chance, and there's a few full games, particularly on sandfell.com.au, and go and watch Taylor Goad play, because it will blag your head. Like, I'm not even joking. It cabbages my mind when I watch him, because I have never seen anyone this tall run. Like, this guy is... Like, you know when you watch Murkoff play, and no disrespect to him, right? Murkoff has got the pace of a Renault Espace. This guy is incredibly thick, incredibly fast. Three sub 20-meter sprints.
Right. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Started life as a key forward, went down back, had a growth spurt last year and played ruck. His development has been insane because 2 years ago, he wasn't even on the radar. He's one of these people who's got a point of difference, his pace, he's worked on his game, really, really strong, really strong. You can see his ruck work developing. Ground ball's been really good. You can see it. He's decent around the ground. But I'm telling you, it's like watching Dow break from a stoppage. When he takes the ball out of the thing, there's mids that can't catch him. He is that, like, I'm not understating it.
Well,
he is ridiculously fast, like flash fast. Like, it's insane. It's unearthly. It's that fast.
We're seeing a draft with, you haven't spoken about ruckman like this for the last few years. Are we seeing a draft with some hidden gems in the ruck department?
Yeah, when we talked about the draft last year, I said that everyone was calling it a super draft. I know Cal Toomey was saying people are saving picks as super draft. And I remember saying to you lot that the first 15, it's a perfect Carlton draft. First 15 are really good. Outside of that, it's throw a dart. And lo and behold, we're here. It's throw a dart territory. Usually when that happens, your key position players and your rooks are worth taking. And the rooks have had no coverage. But there's another ruck one we're going to talk about. Ethan Reed hasn't got the publicity. Everyone's loving Jed Walters. Ethan Reed is ridiculous. It's the next Max Gawn. There's a lot of ruckmen here who are playing some really tasty football. And I think that's the next development of rooks, you know, breakaway speed from clearances. They've changed the rules so ruckmen can take the ball from a stoppage. We're not seeing anyone utilize it. We see Mr. Max Gawn do it. This guy takes it. He ain't caught. Like, there is no ruckman in the league that could catch Taylor Goad if he took off. Not one. There probably hasn't been one that's ever existed. He's that quick. He's ridiculous.
Well, have you got another one on this list? Because I don't. Will Green.
There you are.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not up to date here, my list here.
That's weird. Anyway. Weird that you can't see it, but I can.
Yeah.
Apologies, Terry, but we do all through. Good, but it wouldn't be me talking about draftees without going to my favourite club, the Northern Knights. And here we are, 204, 89 kegs. 93 kegs, 204, massive. And Will Green, I did see an article, I think it was yesterday, by the Zero Hanger, who actually linked Carlton with Will Green, which I can understand it. They had him taking it with our first pick, though, which I don't think Carlton will take a ruck with 22, whatever that becomes. I think they'll fill a need first, and then they'll do it. But this guy here, probably out of the three, a really big base. He is a pure ruckman. And look at the dimensions. That's a dimension of every ruckman in the league. So it's not like he's undersized. Incredibly mobile, very strong in traffic, works hard on the ground, in the air and around the ground. And this year, he's really done well. He's massively improved his ruckcraft all year. Was named in the team of the year as the ruckman. Was honoured with the captaincy at the start of the year for Northern Knights. Massive base, so he's already there. He's already there. He would be, again, third ruckman at the club. But the ceiling of this guy could be high. But you watch him play, particularly for the academy, he looks like an AFL ruckman. Like, the dimensions, he doesn't look wispy. Looks like he could take a punch.
Yeah, right. Who's your favourite of the three?
Of the rocks, Mitch Edwards, because I just feel like he's been completely dicked by crap AFL reporting. But Mitch Edwards is a star. Star in the making. And we're lucky Fremantle don't need him.
There you go.
They've got eight rocks.
Well, ladies and gents, keep a lookout for some of these names, because you'll probably see them in an article coming up in the next few days on afl.com.au or any other footy platform. You're actually giving these guys a bit of stock. They're all going to rise. I can see it. Every single one of these names will bump up a spot by tomorrow.
Also, Taylor Goad, though, honestly, after this show, check out Taylor Goad. Like, his pace, it's like blag your head. Like, blag your head quick. It's that quick.
Okay. Well, we're going to be doing a full preview for it with our picks in a couple of weeks. So I'd be interested to see if much changes. Can much change between now and, say, 2 weeks?
Yeah, someone could drive pissed without a license.
True.
Anything can happen. Obviously, teams can trade picks, so that will massively affect it. Like, my board has changed quite a bit. Usually it stops after the combine, but my board has changed purely because teams get up the ladder, go down the ladder, teams acquire players. So like Orazio, for me, changes Carlton's strategy. I don't think a forward is on the agenda. I think that's a show of we back what we've got in.
Yeah.
So for me, that would allude to a midfielder. Now there's talk about rebounding midfield and defenders. So things can change. Teams can acquire players, and that massively affects their strategy. So
We just saw Port Adelaide announce their delisting. Scott Lysette was one of them. So all of a sudden, somebody picks him up. That might change the ruck dynamic in the draft.
Well, the talk is he's going to Richmond, and it's funny because Richmond have evidently been seen meeting Mr. Green, who we've just talked about here. So you'd imagine if they get Lysette, does that mean Green comes in? Like, it's them little things like that, do you know what I mean? That could totally change it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's an hour. But if there are any questions, just general questions, now is the time. I had a few. On the Instagram. Let's have a look. We've already covered Fantasia, so that eliminates four of these questions.
Is his name actually Fantasia?
I believe it's Fantasia.
Fantasia is so much better.
So much better. This one's from Curtis Diorio. Should we be concerned that Lewis Young and Pitto have long-term deals? Big risk?
Not really, because, I mean, you're always going to need a backup ruck.
Yeah.
So that's why I've never been... I know people got upset about the Pitternet deal. I don't quite see it, because my issue with Carlton is we don't have a 30-year-old ruckman, which other clubs do. Look at Essendon. They've gone out and bought one.
Yeah.
There's a reason. You've got a break glass of Gears of Emergency. Ours are the same age. Young, you know what? People are forgetting about Young, because this time last year, Young was in everyone's best 22. And then he's had a bit of a pants year. I can't remember who it was, but didn't some moron do a podcast and say, I've got a rumour that Jacob Wietering has gone into the dressing room and told Voss, I'm not playing if Young plays. It was definitely a podcast that came from. I remember it. I can't remember who did it. I'd love to name him. But again, moronic. Jacob Wiedemann doesn't look like that guy. He isn't that guy. Spoken to the guy a few times over a beer. Not like that. Young key defenders. Name a good key defender who's ready to play round one in this draft. Connor O'Sullivan, maybe. Ollie Murphy, maybe. Would you trust them playing fullback round one versus Richmond? No, you wouldn't. So he's only a bubba. He's only a bubba. There's a lot of football left in Lewis. And worst case scenario, Lewis Young is our fourth choice key defender, which every club has. So I don't mind. He's not on a lot of money. So bless him. Good luck to him.
Very good. Very good. That was it. Somebody asked, how long have you been a blue bagger for? My whole life. I'm 32, so 32 years.
I don't know about you. Feeling
Pommy's been a blue bagger for 10 years. This is your 10-year anniversary, mate.
It is. Sad, isn't it? I've seen some great moments. Saw Judd beat Richmond. A couple of wins against Essendon. Yep. And then this year, they bestowed me to let me see finals again, which was nice. So, still waiting for that thing that you unfurl, round one. Yep. I'd like to see one of them, but we live in hope.
I've got a question. Are you watching replays at the moment, as in from the season? Are you in replay mode yet? I'm not.
No, I never do. Just caveat, I never watch a replay of a game unless it's for some tactical or nuanced reason. Watching a lot of draftees at the moment, and like I've watched a few games. When people ask me questions, Richmond, who were they looking for? I'll go back and watch a few games where their reserves have played in the seniors to try and ascertain what they're at. But no, I genuinely don't watch anything that's Carlton related this time.
Fair. Bridget. Hubby, kids, and I are over in Victoria for a month from Perth in December. Do they have any members events during the December at the club? Yes, they do. They have not announced the dates yet, but last year they did. Did you just bang your foot?
Yeah. That's me out for 10 weeks.
Bridget, yes. I think from memory last year there were two open trainings. They were both on a Wednesday. So the answer is, I'm pretty sure they're going to do open trainings. They always have that Christmas session before that. The boys are getting back in, I think, a month, start of December for a couple of weeks, and then they go off on their Christmas break. So just keep your eyes peeled on that.
Are we having one though, Terry?
Are we what?
Shall we have a Christmas party?
Yeah, we are. Yes. I do need to get onto that. I do need to make the call and actually make it happen. The answer is yes, there will be a gathering. There will be. Keep your eyes peeled. I am actually taking calls. For those of you who are not subscribed to the email list, if you would like to be on the email list, let me know. I send an email probably once every 2 to 3 weeks. I'm looking for people to record episodes of Carlton People with. I filmed 3 today, so I've got 4 tomorrow. So I've got a booking link. Basically, I just want a 20 to 30 minute chat, video chat. It's actually using this exact background that you see Pommy and I on, and we just talk about your Carlton story and just sits there on the channel, and then you can share it with your family and friends. So if you are interested and you did not get my email, just send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, or send me an email and we can organize it. Pommy, what number were you? Do you remember what number episode you were, Carlton People?
I reckon I was below 10. 5?
I want to find out. I can't remember.
That was ages ago, Terry.
You were number 2.
What number were you? Were you 3?
Nah, I was...
Because I did have you.
You've interviewed me. I don't have a number. It just says my story.
Terry's numberless.
I'm numberless. Debbie, can Ronk get an upgrade from the VFL? Debbie, I do not know. Technically, right?
Well, I mean, Carlton could... I mean, there's two options. He can enter the draft if he wants to, which I do believe Ronk and Cahill and McMahon have entered the draft as overages. He can also go through the PSD if he chose to. And he can also be rookie aid should we have a list spot, which at the moment we do not, but a player will be upgraded, which will then, because we've also got the two Irish guys in, which according to my research and my intel and my understanding and the Age also publish it, that's category B, because the AFL have a grey third category B. It's a misconception that there's two. We'd still be over our list quota because that would, let me do the maths. 33 on the list plus two is 35. One upgraded is 36, which would then mean 5, 8, 8. Yeah, so yeah, it looks like there's only two list spots, 100%. So be Pom Cotter, I'd imagine, deserves the upgrade more than anyone else because he's got the best nickname in AFL. Let's be honest.
Like
Nick Austin can get sacked if he upgrades anyone else.
Yeah. I think that's us, mate. It's a good show. That was fun.
Mate, best Monday show on telly.
Best Monday show on telly. Little bit of a shout out for the t-shirt. Does that say don't be a melt?
Yeah, don't be a melt.
Don't be a melt. It is melt season, isn't it? It's
weather and people.
Yeah, it's that part removed from the season where I remember why we need the football, because it distracts us from each other, even though the football does sometimes as well.
If you want to be a good parent, just every night before you kiss your kids goodnight, just tell them, don't be a melt. It makes a better society. The way I've left melt.
Christmas is around the corner, so get your Don't Be a Melt t-shirts.
Mate, massive. I love a Don't Be a Melt t-shirt.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you have a great evening. This was a good show, and we'll see you throughout the week on the channel. See you, guys.
Peace. God bless.